Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Is Hayden Wesniewski the answer to the Cubs' bullpen problem, or is he just a potential partial answer? Did you generally like the transactions before the game?
Yes, I think Wesniewski was fantastic. He was really good, and it was very difficult circumstances. I was waiting for Dustin to make a joke about guys flying cross-country need a day off, and instead he's got like an hour to get ready before he knows he's going to go in, and he's got to start warming up. He's got a lot of bounce to him, though. He's an energy guy, and he's a young man, blessed with that kind of young man energy, and I thought we saw it yesterday. I don't know that he is the answer in the bullpen. I think he is a potential answer. I think that he can help you with some long relief. And, you know, he could do a spot start, although it doesn't look like they need anything like that right now. But that's a weapon. That's a guy that deserves to be in the major leagues as far as the transition. Listen, Luke Little had to go. I mean, he came up, he did his job. It's time to go back down. And Wesniewski was just phenomenal. Just, I mean, to have the manager call it the best performance they've had at pitching this year, I mean, that's pretty awesome.
I mean, just imagine if they had done this move one day earlier. After the long night with the 11-inning extra inning game, imagine what could have been.
But they wouldn't, because they used Luke Little in that.
But you wouldn't have used Luke Little.
But they did the move because they did use Luke Little. I mean, they basically
they
yesterday
did the move because the bullpen stinks out loud right
no,
now.
No, not
it
necessarily.
Wasn't just because of Luke Little. I mean, they also sent Daniel Palencia
because he was used to.
Right.
Yeah.
This was a move that was strategic and specific.
But those guys had been used before. I'm saying you could have. My point is, you could have made this move 24 hours earlier.
Yeah, I'd win the lottery if I knew what the future was going to tell me too. But I mean, yeah. Dustin, Luke Little and Palencia weren't that bad before they were that bad, right?
And it was a move for that game. But what I'm saying is, I think was nasty deserves to stay.
Oh yeah,
agreed. He deserves to stay. I think he could also potentially help out with the Kyle Hendricks problem, right? Like maybe Kyle Hendricks is two trips through the order, and then Wesniewski comes in.
Okay.
Maybe that's the next part of this.
Sunday's plan.
Could be.
This is all going to take some getting used to. We talk about it all the time. Craig Counsell doesn't really care for your definition of roles on pitching staffs. They're not starters. They're not relievers. They're out-getters. And he's going to condition us to look at it that way. It's like the NBA. It's positionless. Well, you know, everybody can play everything. You got five guys and you just get them to play together. Much the way you look at the NBA is maybe non-traditional, you're looking at Major League pitching staffs as non-traditional, and Craig Counsell's at the forefront of this. So Wesniewski better stay a while because he can get outs, as we saw. Now, I don't know about Colton Brewer being added or selected from AAA. The Cubs add another Brewer. I don't know if that's a good idea, but wow. I don't know anything about him. But so he's just a live arm, and maybe he'll get a look. But I don't have any problem with them doing what they did before the game and not doing it 24 hours earlier, because if you had said this, they're going to send that, they should send down Palencia and Luke Little before they imploded that night, I think you'd have said, oh, what are you doing there? Luke Little, he's promising. So they're doing what they need to do and manipulating the roster accordingly, and I think that you have to give him the Council. I'm talking about the benefit of the doubt right now.
And a texter checks in, they could easily have gone 7-2 on that trip, and that is accurate. And Dustin, if you heard us and some of his meltdowns over it, that they probably should have. They have had some bad losses.
It's baseball.
Has given up. That, you're exactly right.
You know, that's a really good question.
Ooh, that guy. All they got to do is touch home base a little bit more, and they'll win some more. I couldn't believe watching his post game yesterday. Did Jonathan Cannon deserve better in the first MLB start of his career? Were you most disappointed by the run support, the defense behind him, or the bullpen, specifically Michael Kopech? Did Cannon do enough to stick in this rotation?
Well, Jonathan Cannon definitely deserved better. Disappointing outing by Michael Kopech. I guess he was due. That was the difference in that loss. No doubt about that. And you felt like it was in good hands. The Sox having that kind of performance from Jonathan Cannon after a promising effort from Nick Mastrini gives you something that we have seen in short supply. Outside of the milkshake at Guaranteed Rate Field, a little hope, a little excitement, a little encouragement that things are worth going to. There's a reason to go see the Sox, which we're running out of them. And if you saw the end of the doubleheader yesterday, I'm not exactly in the minority saying that. Less than 1,000 people at that ballpark. The Oakland White Sox. That's embarrassing.
Yeah, it was
and
bad.
It's too bad because I think that shows you where they are. But with efforts like Jonathan Cannon's and Nick Nastrini's, it shows you where they maybe can go. So I think he deserves another shot, yes.
Yeah, I mean, of course, this rotate. I mean, why wouldn't he get another? I mean, I guess that the question on the question would be, why wouldn't you give this? He's already up. Why would you send him back without having? I mean, you could send him back because the next time out, he's not very good, I guess. But yes, of course you would. These are reasons to attend a Sox game. This is a reason to tune into a Sox game. Is some of this young pitching talent. Really disappointed in Michael Kopech that he wants to be in competitive situations. He has said that. I've been on Michael Kopech's side. So for him to not deliver yesterday, yes, that was unfortunate for Cannon, who did enough for sure to stick around in that White Sox rotation.
You know, one of the great things about Jonathan Cannon is that he's 23 years old. So we had talked about this idea that at age 24, when Nick Nastrini came up, I know Garrett Crochet is 24, but he's a younger version of 24. He's the youngest guy on the roster. Well, now Cannon is the youngest guy on the roster. My point is, they have a lot of age on this roster. You want to score a run? You need to score. Hey, Tommy Pham's on the way. We're going to get the last gasp of his career and maybe see him traded at the deadline. This is not a young team. This is not a team. You know, Martin Maldonado, go look at his numbers. That guy's 37 years old, and he looks every bit of it. He's batting like 0.65. Just look at his line if you want to know what's wrong in the world. Again, 37 years old. It's not like you're going out there and watching a bunch of young players. And that's kind of, that's really what's, you know, Kevin Pillar's 35, Robbie Grossman, they brought him in 34. I'm just saying, this is not like the young whippersnaps trying to get going so they can all be getting older together. This is you're throwing guys out there and you're trying to get through a season and we know you're going to maybe win 60. Maybe not win 60. The point is, it's going to be a rough year, and it's nice to see young people.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward.
Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
I'm taking Paige. Next question.
How would you describe this exchange between the Indianapolis Star columnist, Greg Doyle, and the newest member of the Indiana Fever, Caitlin Clark, at the press conference introducing Clark officially to the Indiana media?
Hi, Caitlin. Greg Doyle, Indy Star. Real quick, let me do this.
You like that?
I like that you're here. I like that you're here.
I do that at my family after every game, so.
Okay, well, let's start doing it to me, and we'll be able to get along just fine. So, question is.
So, the question is, should there be any response to what happened yesterday?
Well, he responded. He apologized. He caught, like, tons of grief. He was given the heart sign tour. I mean, you stand up at a news conference and you give the heart sign to the best young player in the WNBA and someone that is loaded with all sorts of attention. What are you thinking? And then in the course of your exchange, I know he's trying to be funny, but oh, you give that to me and we're really just, it was beyond kind of creepy. I don't think he meant to be creepy. I don't know what he meant. You know, Greg Doyle's a good guy. You don't really think of him as kind of this, you know, weird sexist animal. But good God, was that a stupid exchange. And just a ton of, there's all sorts of problems with it. It was shocking because it was so unprofessional. And I was utterly surprised by it. And the response to it was just, I mean, a lot of people got upset about it. And, you know, again, he tried to apologize. I don't know. It's the kind of thing that gets you in serious trouble.
After working with you two guys for quite some time, and I'm grateful for that in all honesty, I think I've learned that you guys from your newspaper backgrounds have told us when we've talked about things that have gone wrong at press conferences is that the writer or the reporter, one of the first rules, and there's a lot of these first rules, is you as the writer or reporter are there to cover a story. You are not supposed to become the story. And he, Greg Doyle, became the story. He was trying to be cute. He was trying to be funny. He flopped. He was bad. It fell flat. I don't think he was hitting on her as some people out there in the X Twitter sphere were suggesting. I don't think he was coming on to her or anything like that. It's something that she does on the court. He was expressing like he feels maybe that he is talking for the state of Indiana and the city of Indianapolis as the lead columnist down there. But then he apologized on X. That was clumsy. And then he wrote a column again. Instead of talking about what it means for Caitlin Clark to be a member of the media, talking about what he did wrong in introducing Caitlin Clark to himself in the city of Indy. So it's just, it's bad, but I don't feel like the guy should lose his job for that. Should he catch some flack for it? Of course.
Oh, he has.
He has, and he deserves to catch it. But I don't think this was anything him coming on to her or anything like that.
That's up to Gannett and to the Indianapolis Star. What he did was unprofessional, inappropriate, and deserves some sort of response. You can't make yourself the story in that way. You typically don't want to make yourself the story at all. But he crossed a line. You've got to understand and read the room. I don't care if he's the most respected columnist in that market or if he's as successful as he has been. He's unorthodox. I personally like him. I know him. I've known him for a very long time, 25 years. But I don't think that he can do what he did without expecting some sort of recourse here. We've seen people fired for less. I'm not saying he should lose his job, but I think he should face a little bit more than just social media backlash. The fact that he apologized, it was a clumsy apology. The fact that he wrote a column after that, he tried to monetize his misogyny. That's bad when you do that. You bring more attention to yourself. We know you're sorry. It doesn't take you 600 words to tell me why. This was crossing the line. This was a bad look, embarrassing for the media. And I am sorry for that this happened, because he is a talented, immensely talented, gifted writer. You just don't need to do this. So, lesson to young journalists or people in our business, it's not about you. It never has to be about you. And when you make it about you, be very careful, because you're going to be unprepared for what could come next. And this came next. And whatever happens to him, he earned and he deserves.
I'm not talking necessarily about a pick six or something like that.
That's the voice of Brad Biggs, and he's our guy. And he suggested that the Bears might consider a punter with one of their two remaining picks after the first round. How realistic is that? And would you prefer a reliable punter over a project pass rusher or a mid-round receiver?
I have really contemplated this a lot. I have fallen into the Mully trap, and I have wondered if the punter on a team that values defense to the extent that the Bears do could be considered a weapon. And we talk about offensive weapons all the time. We rarely talk about defensive weapons. We talk about defensive specialists, a third down pass rusher, a nickelback, a guy who is maybe good at covering running backs as a linebacker. We seldom talk about punters. They could justify using one of their four draft picks on a punter. I'm not as against it as I once was, kind of facetiously and, you know, trying to come around to the terms that kickers are people too. And if the Bears use a draft pick on a punter, specifically Torrey Taylor, I will probably applaud their ingenuity and their ambition and what they're trying to do to be different. Because that it would be different when you have four draft picks and one of them's on a punter. That's different, but it doesn't sound as crazy to me as it once did.
Yeah, I mean, he the punter is a starter. The punter is out there, unfortunately, right? 3, 4, 5 times a game trying to flip the field. But again, if you're drafting Caleb, if Caleb Williams is so special that you would turn down multiple first-round future picks and a second-round pick this year, then you shouldn't need a punter. Because you shouldn't be punting, or you should be adding another tight end. You should be adding an offensive lineman. I would rather add an offensive lineman at that point to work and grow with him than a punter. I mean, I'm not against it, but it feels like a luxury. It almost feels kind of, dare I say, Devin, or not, no, who is the kid from Northern Illinois, the running back that they picked?
Garrett Wolf.
Garrett Wolf. Remember when they got cute? They got cute. They drafted Garrett Wolf to be like the Swiss Army knife guy. Like the Bears aren't in a position. We talk about draft capital all the time on this show. So how in the world would you use a punter when you've got 4 or 5 pieces of draft capital to work with? And again, if the Messiah is coming in Caleb Williams, then you don't need a punter.
You know, there's one punter in the Hall of Fame. It's Ray Guy. And he was with Oakland when they were a Super Bowl contender every year. I think the problem with Torrey Taylor is that his specialization, he is so good at it. He might be the best punter, the best college punter that I've seen. And you look at him coming into the league. You look at the Bears and look at their numbers in terms of punting. This guy has unbelievable accuracy, can pinpoint where the ball's going, he can stop it on a dime, he can help your defense with field position, he can boom the hell out of the ball if that's what you need. It's a really it's a really legitimate weapon. Now, you know, a lot of people wouldn't use a draft pick. You know, I think a fourth round pick, it's kind of where punters go. You don't see them go much earlier. I want to say that San Francisco gave up a pretty good draft pick to get a punter a while back. It, you know, Dustin, you may look at it and say, and I'm not saying that it is atop their list of needs, but I'm saying if you're sitting there and you're looking at a specialist who can turn a game, who has the ability to kind of make you a different team, I don't really care how good your offense is and how good your defense is. This could help field position. It could help you win. And you know what I keep wondering, and I know this is insane, but I keep wondering, does this guy know how to kick off with the new rules and all the stuff going on? Could you have brought him in and found a secret weapon that people don't know about? He's from Melbourne, Australia. I'm sure he's kicked every kind of ball 100 million times. He's from, you know, the goofy game with the white jacket umpire pining when they make a point.
Aussie Rules Football?
Aussie Rules Football, yeah. Which I've been to the Melbourne Cricket Ground and seen Hawthorne play a team in that particular sport. Absolutely hilarious. And they really go at it. But I wonder if he could help on kickoffs too.
One of the first things I remember watching on ESPN when we got cable.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.